That's a piece for solo piano, heavily inspired by the gospel music tradition, and it's by composer Regina Harris Baiocchi. We heard a performance there by the great pianist, great Chicago pianist, Thomas Jefferson. She writes a lot in the score for what she wants, but she leaves the feel entirely up to him, and he does a fantastic job, and he adds all those little flourishes. Really a wonderful piece. It's inspired by the First Church of Deliverance in Chicago's Bronzeville neighborhood, and it was commissioned by Access Contemporary Music as part of our new video series, Songs About Buildings and Moods. Welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm Seth Bosted. I'm going to feature music on the program today that we have commissioned for this project, Songs About Buildings and Moods. And it is now airing on PBS stations around the country. Not all PBS stations, unfortunately, but the ones who have chosen to pick it up. Right now, about 25% of all stations in the country, which is still pretty exciting. This is our mission, of course, to bring contemporary classical music to as many people as possible. And so getting on PBS is a great way to do that. The series itself came out of a series of collaborations we were doing with a project called Open House in Chicago and in New York, and another project called Doors Open in Milwaukee. And we would commission composers to write music inspired by different spaces. And then we put musicians in those spaces, and they would play the piece every 15 minutes while people walked through as part of this project. And it was a really big success in many ways. We did it for many years, starting in 2011. And then along came COVID, and we did it as a video series. And I was really pretty taken by this, because generally in the past, the video was there only to document that this happened, to show our funders, to show people that we had done it. We weren't thinking of the video itself necessarily as something that you'd actually watch. but during COVID, we had no choice. There was nobody in the venue. And so we filmed it. And when I saw the combination of high-end photography of architecture with a musical performance, I thought it was magical. And then we thought, well, what if we provided context for the musical performance, and we told the story of the building? I think that in many ways, what we build, what we choose to build, how it gets built, where it's built, who it serves, all of that says a lot about us as human beings. So let's back up. Let's tell the story of this building, and then we'll talk to the composer and ask them how this building inspired their music, and then we see the performance of the piece. And it's been a big success. So we just wrapped up the first season. It's airing on PBS stations now. And we're already salivating over a second season. Each season is 5 episodes. Every episode features 2 sites, so there are 10 commissions. So I'll feature 7 or 8 of the pieces from season 1 on the program today. If you're curious to see more, you can go to PBS, the PBS website, and in the little search bar, put in Songs About Buildings and Moods. You can also watch it on your TV if you have the PBS app, which is free. Again, just put Songs About Buildings and Moods into the search engine and you can watch it. The featured sites, I'll talk about them a little bit more on the program, but it's a wide range of really wonderful sites. Everything has some kind of architectural significance, and everything is something we know has a great story and would inspire a composer. Next up is a piece by Amos Gillespie. This is also in Chicago. It is a Frank Lloyd Wright house. If you're doing a project like this in Chicago, you're going to have to wrestle with Frank Lloyd Wright, and we could have gone a ton of different directions here. Certainly the Unity Temple out in Oak Park is a pretty amazing choice. There's the Robie House. There are some really great ideas, but I actually decided to try to go a different route, and I called up the Frank Lloyd Wright Buildings Conservancy and asked for their advice. And they recommended the Emil Bach House, and this is in Rogers Park, a northern neighborhood in Chicago. And I personally have gone by this house, I don't even know how many times, a ton of times, and somehow never ever noticed it, which is kind of fun about this project as well. We say in the very opening of the series that music and architecture are so ubiquitous. There's so much around us that we take them for granted. And so this series kind of asks you to take a closer look, both at the architecture that's around us and hopefully at the music that is around us as well. So Amos Gillespie, once we choose the sites, we let the composers choose. We let them gravitate to the ones that they want to write for, and hopefully they don't fight. Usually we don't fight too much. But Amos lives right around the corner from the Emil Bach House, and unlike me, he had noticed it, and in fact had a connection to it. So he wrote a piece called Surrounding Elements, because he's fascinated by the way Frank Lloyd Wright uses surrounding elements. He doesn't just plop his home down in the middle of whatever environment it's in and hope for the best. No, he thinks very much about how the home is placed. If you've ever been to Falling Water, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So here are ACM musicians, Alison Berger on cello, Sixto Franco on viola, and Henry Zhang on violin to perform Surrounding Elements by Amos Gillespie. Music inspired by the Emil Bauckhaus by Frank Lloyd Wright in Rogers Park. We interviewed John Waters, not the famous director from Baltimore, but the program director for the Frank Lloyd Wright Buildings Conservancy, about Emil Bach. And he said this house is kind of like concentrated Frank Wright. You see all of the hallmarks of Frank Lloyd Wright's style in this house, and it's a really small house. And I guess at the time, Wright was advertising this design in Ladies' Home Journal as the fireproof house for $5,000, which I find to be just really hilarious for some reason, that you could buy, I guess that you could buy a Frank Lloyd Wright house for $5,000, first of all, and then secondly, that it's fireproof for some reason. But of course, that would have been a big concern back in the day. At any rate, this really great piece by Amos Gillespie, and check it out. That's in episode 4 of Songs About Buildings and Moods, again on PBS around the country now. Let's head up to Milwaukee now, and the Best Place, as it's called now, but it was the historic Pabst Brewery. This is where Pabst made beer for 100 years. And I had no idea about Pabst's illustrious history. I knew that hipsters brought it back from the dead, but I did not know that it was more or less the number one selling beer in America for quite a long time. It was Pabst and Schlitz side by side until Miller and Coors and so on came and you know, upset the whole thing. But I heard the story through Jim Hertel, who I interviewed for the episode we did on the Pabst Brewery. And it's just such a fun place. Again, it's the kind of place you drive by in Milwaukee and never notice. It was designed to look like a series of fairy tale German castles, and it has these crenellations and you know, the turrets, all of the things that you think about. Luckily, we had a drone out there, so we could really give you a bird's eye view, because you need it. The buildings are so big that from the ground, you don't really realize how ornate they are, how interesting they are. And all of the equipment that they made the beer in is still there. So it was a really, really fun place to shoot. It was a fun place, I assume, to write music. Christian Ellenwood did an amazing job. He wrote a piece called Confluence, because the building where Captain Pabst actually started the brewery, he continued it. He actually bought it from a guy named Best. But anyway, at any rate, where he expanded it was originally a schoolhouse. And so for Christian, he was thinking about this confluence of different things that the building had done, and that it had been a schoolhouse, now it's a Pabst Brewery. He also really is a fan of asymmetry, and all of the buildings are asymmetrical with those turrets and things, and so the piece changes meter all of the time. We were lucky enough in Milwaukee to work with musicians from the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, and they're fantastic. So we're going to hear on clarinet William Helmers, on flute Heather Zinninger, on viola Beth Breslin, and on cello, Peter Thomas. Here they are performing Christian Ellenwood's Confluence, inspired by the historic Pabst Brewery in Milwaukee. Thank you. Music inspired by beer, specifically Pabst beer, specifically from the 19th century, and even before it was a brewery, when it was a schoolhouse. Christian talked about hearing the pitter-patter of children's feet on the stairs of the schoolhouse, and then, of course, all of the wonderful equipment when it became the brewery, and then the asymmetry of these the castles. The buildings are designed to look like German castles. So check that out on PBS, their website, or the app, Songs About Buildings and Moods. And if you like Relevant Tones, we hope that you do, please do consider supporting us at $5 a month at our Patreon page. That is patreon.com/relevanttones. This is the only podcast that I know of that features contemporary classical music every week all through the year. We do pay all of our hosts, producers, and researchers, so please consider supporting us at patreon.com/relevanttones. From Milwaukee, let's go to Gary, Indiana. I was doing research about different buildings, of course, trying to think of buildings we wanted to commission music for, and I wanted to do an abandoned building of some kind. And so I found myself on these Urban Explorer websites. I don't know if you know about these. They're pretty fun. People go out into all kinds of abandoned sites in the, you know, Midwest, all over the country, probably pretty dangerous, some of these places, and they photograph them and post the photographs. And so there is a church in Gary, Indiana, and I was stunned by the photographs. They've filmed all kinds of things in there, like vampire movies. It's beautiful and sad and haunted and all kinds of things all at once. It was a cathedral, a masterpiece of Gary when Gary was still, you know, they were thinking of it as the next Chicago in so many ways. And they created this cathedral, and it is, I think, was very, very beautiful. But white people left the city to die, and it's been abandoned for 50, 60 years now, and it's falling apart. And so it's just open. You just go in. We were a little nervous about bringing tens of thousands of dollars worth of film equipment into the space, plus a string quartet. We did have our drone guy fell into a hole in the ground up to his hip. That was scary. We thought we were going to lose him. We thought he was going to go all the way down to the basement below. So we pulled him out of the hole, and I didn't know him either. So luckily, he wasn't too mad about this whole thing. He was very cool about it. And then we were very careful after that. In fact, if you watch the episode, you'll notice that there's a pathway that goes down through what was the nave of the church, and the string quartet is huddled onto that pathway. They were not about to step foot off of the pathway. At any rate, we commissioned a composer named Gustavo Leone, and he wrote a piece called Falling. And in the piece, he imagines the day when the nave finally falls to the ground, which will happen probably within the next 10 to 15 years. Really, really a sad story, and it's a very poignant piece for a string quartet. So let's hear Falling. It's performed here by Christine Chan and Henry Zhang on violins, Tracy Huff on viola, and Kelsey Vandervall on cello. That's music inspired by an abandoned cathedral in Gary, Indiana. It was called the City Methodist Church of Gary, and the piece is by Gustavo Leone. Really poignant, beautiful music. He talks a lot in the interview in the episode about the failure of Christianism, as he puts it, the failure of Christianity here. And you can't help but agree when you see it. Well, let's move to a more hopeful piece. We're going back to Milwaukee here, and this is the famous Milwaukee City Hall. If you ever watched Laverne and Shirley, it would say, "Welcome Milwaukee visitors," on City Hall. They don't have that sign on City Hall anymore, which I think is a real bummer. They got rid of it, I don't know, a couple decades ago. It was kind of cheesy, but it was fun. Anyway, City Hall is designed in the Flemish Renaissance style. It is a striking building, and perhaps its most notable feature is a bell tower at the top. We were really excited to be able to film there, and we interviewed Milwaukee historian John Gerda about the space. He had a lot of really great things to say about it. And we worked with a composer in Wisconsin. She teaches at the University of Eau Claire. Her name is Chiayu Su. And she wrote a really, really nice piece for flute and cello, a virtuosic piece. The cellist is Peter Thomas, who's in the Milwaukee Symphony, and I've worked with him for years. He's a marvelous cellist, and he wrote me an email and said, "This is maybe the hardest thing I've ever played." So I felt a little guilty about it. Luckily, it's a really, really good piece. And the idea that Chiayu had is that it's a day in the life of the building. Basically, you start off in the morning, people are streaming into the building, the sun gets higher up, the bell tower is there, it's business as usual during the day, and then the sun sets over the building, and you have this really beautiful music. She's also channeling the music of Renaissance composers as well, because of the Flemish Renaissance style of the building. And when you get to that section, you will absolutely notice. So here's the piece, City Renaissance by Chiayu Su, performed by Peter Thomas, cello, and Heather Zinninger, flute. Thank you. That's music by composer Chiayu Su, inspired by the City Hall building in Milwaukee, that iconic building. As our interviewee, John Goethe, says, this is the building that if you lose it, you'll say, where's Milwaukee? It's so iconic of the city of Milwaukee. And what a marvelous performance. As I mentioned, that is a really difficult piece, super virtuosic, and just a great performance by Peter Thomas and Heather Zinninger. Let's turn to, we're going to go back to Chicago. So in the first season, we were in Chicago, Milwaukee, and New York, and a little road trip to Gary, Indiana. And that's partly because of our limited budget, but partly also because we were doing this for the first time, and we weren't sure if we were going to be able to get permission. So we were working in buildings we already had connections with through Doors Open Milwaukee, Open House Chicago, and Open House New York. But hopefully now, with the first season in the bag and on PBS stations around the country, we can convince people that this is a series worth doing, worth having us in. And so we're hoping to work in Detroit, a couple buildings in Detroit, in Mexico City, in Baltimore, doing one in Brooklyn, this amazing bank that they put a super tall skyscraper right on top of, and one in Chicago, the Stony Island Arts Bank. And hopefully a museum that was a prison in Ohio where they shot The Shawshank Redemption. So hopefully we'll have season two ready next year. But in the meantime, let's head back to Chicago and the Richard H. Driehaus Museum. And I wrote the music for this one. This was the very first one that we did. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know what we're doing. So I'll be the guinea pig. I'll go first. And if it's terrible, then at least it'll be my piece, not some other poor composer. Luckily, it wasn't terrible. In fact, we really kind of found our footing with this one. But the Driehaus Museum was originally called the Nickerson Mansion, and that's because it was created by a guy named Samuel Nickerson. And I was thinking all about Gilded Era, you know, excess, that kind of thing, because it clearly exhibits all of that. It's from the 19th century. But the woman who was the executive director of the museum at the time was telling me some other stories. She was saying, well, Nickerson actually made his money in whiskey distilleries, and whiskey distilleries tend to burn down, especially in the 19th century. And so burn down they did, and he had a fear of fire, and he moved to Chicago like 1 year before the Chicago fire, which is just horrible luck for somebody who's afraid of fire. So the whole town burns down, and he's like, okay, I'm done. This is crazy. And he builds a fireproof house. We're back to that subject in Chicago. But it's the first one. They don't have the technology that Frank Lloyd Wright will have later. So they build it out of marble, and it's called the Marble Palace. And it is incredibly beautiful, but it's also, as you might expect, there's not a lot of natural light that gets into the house. And so it's full of all kinds of treasure from all over the world, the art that he collected, future owners of the home, and then Richard H. Driehaus himself, when he turned it into a museum, his collection is in there. So it's this incredible hodgepodge. Somebody put a skylight in at one point. I mean, it's just this incredible place in so many respects, but it is also dark. And I thought, as a composer, I love this idea of being afraid of fire. And so I talked with one of our executive producers, Dave Less, and he said, I want to do the camera work as if it's 3 a.m. and the camera is this guy, and he's walking around the space, and he's filled with angst, and he's trying to comfort himself with all of his material possessions, but he just can't do it. The fear gets him. So that's the piece that I wrote. Here it is. It's called The Marble Palace. Great performance here by Nick Fotinos on cello, Jeff Yang on violin, and Zach Good on bass clarinet. Thank you. It's a piece I wrote called The Marble Palace, inspired by the Richard H. Driehaus Museum in Chicago. All right, we have time for one more, if I don't talk too much about it. And this is inspired by the TWA Hotel, which was the TWA Flight Center designed by Eero Saarinen. And this music is by Stephanie Ann Boyd, who did a wonderful job, and she has a personal connection to Eero Saarinen in many respects because she went to the music school in Michigan that he had designed, and she drove a car designed by Raymond Loewy, who designed a lot of the furniture in the TWA Hotel as well. And so I thought that was pretty fun. And she just wrote this piece, you know, it's a flight center. It was 1962 when it opened up. It was Camelot, jet age optimism. I mean, Americans were very full of themselves at that time, even more than now. And she captured all of that, that sensation of flight, that sensation of just glorious optimism in the piece. The musicians are all from the New York City Ballet. They did a marvelous job. Here they are performing Eero by Stephanie Ann Boyd. Thank you. a piece by Stephanie Ann Boyd, inspired by Eero Saarinen's great masterpiece, the TWA Flight Center, now reborn as the TWA Hotel. And I definitely recommend that if you're ever at JFK, go over to Terminal 5, that's the JetBlue Terminal, and check it out. At least have a drink. If you can stay the night, go for it, because they have a pool. One of the attractions is an infinity pool on the roof overlooking the JetBlue runway. So you can sit in the pool and watch planes take off and land with a drink in your hand, which is surprisingly fun. I was kind of like, whatever, when I heard about it. But no, it's very, very fun. I highly recommend that you check it out. So this is all music inspired by Songs About Buildings and Moods, ACM's video series exploring the intersection of music and architecture. Very excited to get started on season 2. Check out season 1 on PBS, again on the PBS app or on the PBS website. Just put Songs About Buildings and Moods into the search bar, and I hope that you enjoy it. Relevant Tones is a production of Access Contemporary Music, a nonprofit organization with the mission of bringing musical creativity to life every day. Find out more at acmusic.org. For Relevant Tones, I'm Seth Bosted. Thanks so much for listening.